Welcome to Good Shepherd on this Wednesday after the third Sunday after Trinity. So we have two afters there. Our God is a God who delights in finding lost things. Our God is a God who delights in saving condemned things. And I think very few Sundays exemplify that as much as this Sunday, Luke chapter 15, the finding of the lost sheep. And then, Vicar, I'm not going to try and take his thunder, but who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? And the joy that we see there in Luke chapter 15 is the same joy that God has over each and every one of you, each and every person who is saved. He rejoices. He delights to save. He delights to baptize. He delights to give his gifts from the altar. He delights to give you his word, and he delights to do so again tonight. Order of worship this evening: service of prayer and preaching. That is found on page 260. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank and praise you that you come to seek and to save that which was lost and condemned us. We beg you, O Lord, as you continue to seek out lost sheep each and every day in every corner of this planet, that you would continue to call the nations to you through your voice, the church. We beg you, O Lord, that that voice would ring out here in this place once again this evening, that we would hear your word and cling to it. Your holy, your precious name we pray. Amen. Our opening hymn, number 608. 608.
Amen.
Prayer and Preaching, page 260. Page 260, we stand. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere.
I would rather be a poor beggar in the house of my God than dwell in tents of the wicked.
Make me know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your path.
Sanctify us in your truth.
Your word is truth.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Glory be to the Father,
and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now,
Testament lesson for the third Sunday after Trinity comes from the prophet Micah, chapter 7. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of His inheritance? He does not retain His anger forever, because He delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We turn to the words of the gradual. We speak it together as printed on your bulletin insert.
Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. I call to God, and the Lord will save me. He redeems my soul, and He saves me.
The epistle lesson comes from St. Peter's first letter, the fifth chapter. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be the dominion forever and ever.
Amen.
The Holy Gospel for the third Sunday after Trinity comes from the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So He told them this parable. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Lord, I love
the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place.
Ten Commandments.
You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
The Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. And I believe
In the name of Jesus. Amen. Our text tonight is taken from the final chapter of Micah, particularly the last three verses, which read, "Who is a God like you, taking away guilt and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. He will return again. He will show compassion to us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast into the depths of the sea all our sins. You will show faithfulness to Jacob, steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old." These words spoken by the Holy Spirit are perhaps one of the most beautiful gospel passages in the Old Testament. They bring us great comfort. They remind us of Christ's victory over sin and death. And they teach us that although we are pilgrims here on earth, heaven is our final home. But there are days when these wonderful promises of God seem to fall short. Yes, it's a great comfort to have the hope of heaven, but most of us here are a long way away from that day. What about today? Today, we suffer pain and sorrow. Today, we experience heartbreak and betrayal. Today, we know that we should feel blessed. We know that we should be thankful, but the troubles of this life are relentless. They just keep piling up. Well, at least there's some comfort in knowing that you're not the only one who feels this way. At the beginning of the final chapter, Micah 2 cries out, "Woe is me!" Ever feel like this? Some days you look around at your life, and perhaps you compare the dreams that you had when you were younger and more naive with the reality that you now live in. And with the prophet, you too cry out, "Woe is me! For I have become as when the summer fruit has already been gathered, as when the grapes have been gleaned, and now there is no cluster to eat. There is no first ripe fig that my soul desires." You've all seen the cornfields after the harvest. You go by in the winter and you see lifeless stalks standing there in the dry and frozen ground. Does this describe you? Once everything in your life was green and fruitful, but now the reapers have come and gone, and nothing is left except stubble, and your enemy says to you, "Where is the Lord your God?" But look beyond yourself and your own troubles for a moment. Look around you at this broken world. "Woe is me," says the prophet, "for the godly man has perished from the earth. And there is no one upright among mankind. They all lie in wait for blood. Each one hunts the other with his net. Their hands are on what is evil to do it well. The prince and the judge ask for a bribe, and the great man utters the evil desire of his soul." These words spoken by the Holy Spirit over 2,500 years ago apply to our day perfectly. Our rulers and courts make unjust laws. The guilty go free and the innocent are oppressed. Gross sin is celebrated in our streets, and virtue, if you can find it, is despised. The name of Christ is blasphemed. His followers are persecuted, and your enemy says to you, "Where is the Lord your God?" It's painful to look around at the trouble in this world, but it's more painful most painful to us when that trouble and suffering comes into our own homes. Woe is me, the prophet cries out, for the son treats the father with contempt. The daughter rises up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Put no trust in a neighbor. Have no confidence in a friend. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your arms. For a man's enemies are of his own household. This is the suffering that hurts us most. Estrangement, divorce, sickness, and death. The doctor finds a malignant cancer, or the other car doesn't stop at the red light. The person you love the most leaves you or betrays you. And your enemy says, "Where is the Lord your God?" Why, we ask, why am I suffering? Why do bad things happen to good people? But we Christians know the truth. There are no good people. The root of the evil in this world, in our families, in our own lives, is not found somewhere out there. No, the root of the problem is found here in my sinful, wicked heart. Woe is me, cries the prophet, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. The problem with this world is not the Democrats or the Republicans. The problem with your family is not that teenagers are rebellious or that Uncle Harry is a jerk. No, the problem is sin. And not the sins of the people out there. My sins. Your sins. Woe is me, for I am by nature sinful and unclean. I have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed. I have not loved God with my whole heart. I have not loved my neighbor as myself. The good things that I want to do, I don't do them. The evil things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I find myself doing. And my enemy says to me, "Where is the Lord your God?" How do you answer? It won't do any good to point the finger. There's nobody else to blame. Woe is me. And the problem can't be fixed. Believe me, I've tried. I'm sure you have too. But your sinful nature cannot be reformed. Another broken promise to try harder and do better will be exactly that. One more broken promise. Before the crushing accusation of the law, the only answer that you can give is to plead guilty. All these charges are true. But I appeal to the gospel. For as the prophet says, "As for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. For my God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because, yes, I have sinned against him, but he will plead my cause, and he will execute judgment for me. He will bring me out to the light, and I shall look upon his vindication." Your enemy says to you, "Where is the Lord your God?" How do you answer? "Here. Here is my God upon the cross that I prepared for him. Here in my stead, he became the field that was harvested bare, and we were the reapers. We stripped everything from Him, even His clothes. Yes, it's true. There is no one upright among mankind. The only godly man has perished from the earth. Why? Because we were the ones who laid in wait for His blood. We were the ones who spread our net for Him. We rose up against God, our Father and Creator, and we treated His Son with contempt. Yes, the enemies of our Lord were those of His own household. All these charges are true, but I appeal to the gospel. Because even while we were His enemies, Christ died for us. While we were lost in sin and darkness, our good shepherd came and found us. And we added sin to sin, multiplying our sin by crucifying our own God. But He bore our sin gladly. We sought His death, and in exchange, He gave us eternal life. Who is a God like you, taking away guilt and passing over transgression? God did not retain His just anger forever. Why? Because He delights in steadfast love. He has again shown compassion on you. He has trampled your iniquities underfoot. He has cast into the depths of the sea all your sins. He has shown faithfulness to Jacob, steadfast love to Abraham, as He promised to our fathers from of old. We still live here in this broken world. We still suffer the effects of sin. We all have messed up lives and messed up families. But we do not grieve as those who have no hope. For we have a good shepherd who walks with us in every trial. We have a faithful high priest who knows our suffering because He has borne the suffering of the entire world on our behalf. We have our older brother and Savior, Jesus, who went ahead of us as the first to rise from the dead and enter the glory of heaven. But He promises us that we too will follow. And His promise cannot be broken. His word gives you true comfort and peace today, tomorrow, and always. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, establish, and strengthen you. To Him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Hymn 818.
time we'd ask you to participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. There's a pad at the end of each pew if you would please take it and sign in and pass along. Guests or visitors, we're very glad to have you with us this evening, and we would ask that you would provide us your contact information so we can acknowledge your presence with us in worship this night. At this time also, we receive from our bounty the gifts and offerings we have. In addition to the prayer requests as listed in your bulletin, we also remember the family of Marianne Schmieding, a longtime member of Good Shepherd, been a shut-in in Colorado for a number of years, who was taken to her eternal home recently. We also pray for the mother of Barb Poppy, who is celebrating her 90th birthday tomorrow. And we also pray for the family of Melissa Macklin, whose father's departure from this vale of tears appears very near. We stand for prayer. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the holy Christian Church here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, especially the Phillips family, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and those recovering from any kind of surgery, especially Bob, Ryan, Lowell, and Barbara. For the dying, especially Melissa Macklin's father. For those who mourn, especially the family of Marion. And for all those who give care to them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who study for the office of the Holy Ministry, especially our current vicar, Evan Scammon, and his family as they prepare to transition back to Fort Wayne, and for our coming vicar, Lawson Short, as he prepares to transition here among us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who celebrate, especially the mother of Barb Poppy, celebrating her 90th birthday tomorrow, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, that truth, justice, and freedom may continue to be preserved among us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong and nothing is holy. Multiply your mercy on us that, with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not the things eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart that, by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I thank you, my heavenly Father,
through Jesus Christ, your Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil one may not have no power over me. Amen.
We
the
Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless and preserve you.
Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, number 717. 717. And welcome and good evening. And I don't know if there are, I've been gone for so long, I don't even know what's even going on around here. I assume Lifelight tomorrow, I assume because I'm teaching it, we'll be doing Hebrews. So it'll be 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. We have church picnic that's coming up in still a few weeks, but there's already sign-up sheets on the back there. I know Vicar Short, have we announced the day for moving in yet? Has that been announced yet? No, okay. So next week sometime, Vicar Short will be joining us. And we have the Vicar Roast, Farewell, whatever, on the 23rd that evening. I don't know of any other announcements. Yeah. Oh, yes, of course, Bible study right after class, continuing Luke chapter 1. Continuing Luke chapter 1. Lord be with you as you continue to receive and revel in His gifts, for He delights to give them. God's blessings.